This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And today we're going to have, I don't know, a bit of a whirlwind show because I was gathering my notes and my research before the beginning of this show and I realized I have way too much for one show, so we'll see how much I can fit in. I'm hoping to share with you a dog treat recipe before the end of the show. Apple peanut butter bones. Yeah, that's a good one. Last time I shared a recipe that's for cats and dogs, which is really rare, but it had salmon in it, canned salmon, and not too much else, an egg. And you use a little bit of flour and you use a Ziploc bag that you cut the corner out of and you squeeze them to make the little teeny tiny little biscuits for your cats. Little teeny tiny biscuits. That's true for little dogs too. You don't want to be giving your little dog a huge bone or a huge treat or a huge biscuit that displaces the healthy food you're giving them. If your dog's a tenth the size of a German Shepherd, then he should be receiving a treat that's a tenth the size of a regular milk bone, not the size of your hand, right? The treat should go with the size of the dog. And in particular, that's true for their teeth. You want something that gives them a really good chew, but isn't too much for them. So they're not swallowing whole pieces. So you kind of have to look at the size of the biscuit and the size of the dog, I think. Now, one thing that's different from that, and I took a picture of this on Deb Wolf Pet Expert, is real bones. Real bones are great for dogs to chew on because they don't chew them up. They gnaw on them. And if you can get a real bone from a cow, a beef bone from the butcher, and freeze it, if you can't use it right away or give it to them right away, that's a really good chew for puppies and dogs. Okay, so what's been on the news lately is kind of fascinating me. I've been looking at some of the studies they're doing on wildlife, you know, like where they put a camera on the bird or the fox or the wolf or the lion or whatever, the whale. They stick a camera on it and they make it live its life, or a year of its life anyway, monitored. And I always think about these little creatures, especially the really little ones. And I think, you know, does that impede its ability to clean itself? Does it struggle to mate because it's got a big, giant, weird thing on its head sending out signals? Like, you know, if I was the lady in that scenario and the male came along and there were three or four males to choose from and one of them was wearing some weird human device, I'd pick one of the other suitors, right? Well, so would most animals. So I wonder how much of a accurate picture they're getting. But on the other hand, I do know that they're trying really hard. And they have some really good rules about it. So, for example, any flying creature can only have a device attached to it that is 5% or less of its body weight. So they're not weighing them down. And they're paying real good attention to what kinds of materials they're using and how they're securing these things. Because for one thing, they want the accurate picture. They don't want the animal to live a different life. But also, they want it comfortable, they want it humane, and they want it to last, and they want the animal they're monitoring to keep the camera or listening device or tracking device or whatever it is they're put on there for a long time, or at least the duration of the study. They don't want it to fall off, scratch off, break off. They don't want the animal to die because of it, you know? So there's a lot of selfish reasons, but still, they're really, really, really trying. And you might wonder, okay, why are we bugging the animals? Why are we studying them so much? Well, there's a really good reason that we know about. And then there's probably lots of reasons we haven't figured out yet. But basically, they know things we don't, right? When there's a tidal wave, typhoon situation, tsunami, or an earthquake, it's the elephants that get away. It's the animals that know before we know. And in particular, they're looking at some goats in Italy, where there's been 8 major volcanic eruptions in Italy lately. And so they decided to use some, they call them like this, wearables for wildlife. Wearables for wildlife. Sounds so fancy. Anyway, so they decided to put these things on the goats. And they discovered that different groups of goats in different places on the mountain all got active at the same time several hours ahead, like flustered, active, noticeably behaving differently to their herding keepers, to the people watching them. And they would flee the pastures and run for the shelter of the forest several hours before the eruption. So tagging these animals has helped us figure that out and also helped us understand why they're doing it and the connection with them. So it's quite possible that in addition to all the little devices we put around the earth and in the water and the oceans and in the sky to try and help us detect hurricanes and other things, I do believe that the animals are going to be the key to this. That when we start looking at the animals and seeing how they react and monitoring them and analyzing that information in real time fast. So we go, whoa, Italy, warning alert, the goats are moving. Everybody get away. Get away, the volcano's about to erupt, right? That's what we need to do. And they're well on their way. So I'm really happy this is finally happening. I mean, my whole life I've known that animals escape these disasters and people don't. And so sometimes the people minding the animals are the only people who survive. They'll jump on their pet elephant or horse or whatever and get away from the problem. And well, then that's just a lesson in itself, isn't it? You got to take care of your animals and they'll take care of you. All right, we're going to go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio and talk a little bit about pets. I do have another award. Yes, and it has to do with dogs and beaches. So stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And there's something weird. It kind of got my attention. Just a tiny little news thing. Bubonic plague. Bubonic plague. Are you kidding me? Isn't that from the Middle Ages? And isn't that the stuff in Botox? And isn't that kind of historically a menace, but no longer so? And what's going on with that? Well, it's actually still a menace, and it's actually still hurting people. And apparently, a flea bite in Lake Tahoe Beach has caused someone to get bubonic plague. A disease that killed a third of the European population historically. And then I thought, well, that's weird. I haven't heard about that for years. I'm going to research this. 7 cases a year in the United States. Okay, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I still think it's weird. And I still think it's strange that we play with this stuff. I think we got to watch it. We got to be careful. And it does keep in mind, you know, when you go to a beach, when you go to the lake, make sure you're wearing good clothes for it. Make sure you're using repellents. Make sure you're looking at each other afterward. Make sure you're brushing your dogs after. Make sure their coats are suitable for this kind of climate and activity. If you need to brush them, or if you need to clip them, or if you need to give them a bath after, do what you need to do, because whatever's out there is glomming onto them, jumping off the tall grass in the park, at the dog park, jumping out of the out of the car, out of the blanket, out of the hotel. All this stuff that can hurt your animal is out there. So in this case, talking about a human pathogen and problems for humans, but it does kind of bring to mind all the people who go to the beach or the forest not very often, and their dog maybe isn't prepared, and maybe they don't know what they're doing, and the dog gets a tick or a flea bite or something really bad. I mean, fleas happen all the time, but you need to be on a good prevention, right? Because some dogs, some cats are terribly allergic and they'll pick themselves bald just after one little bite. Plus the fleas, once you got one, you got many, they get off there and they lay their eggs and they have generations in your house. So you want to really prevent it from happening to your pets. And sometimes when I've I used to do private lessons, and I would get a customer who's insisting their dog doesn't have fleas and doesn't have flea allergy because they have a clean house and they're not scratching and they don't take their dog places. It could happen. And I have to point out to them, you know, every place is a place that it could happen. Every person with an animal might have eggs, larvae, or fleas on the cuffs of their pants or sleeves when they go to pet your dog, or on their shoes, every time you go to the vet, every time you walk across a grassy field, every time you go anywhere with another animal has been. And it doesn't even have to be a domestic animal. It can certainly be a squirrel or a raccoon. So if you have an animal, you need to use prevention. That's basically the ticket there. And you got to be watchful. If you catch these things quick, even Lyme can be dealt with really well in humans. I talked about that a few shows ago. But with pets, if you're going to be in the forest and you're going to go places where you know there's Lyme and ticks, just get the vaccine. It's that simple for dogs. Okay, so America loves dogs, apparently. It looks like in 1947, 32% of Americans had a pet dog. And in 1987, 38% of Americans had a pet dog. And now, okay, don't Google it. Can you guess how many Americans have a pet dog? Well, I'll tell you after the next break. I can tell you that there are 90 million dogs. 90 million. And in America. Amazing. Okay. So, gonna go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back at Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And the answer to that question, in 1947, there were 32% of Americans owning dogs. In 1987, 38% owned dogs. And now, 46% of Americans own dogs. That's almost half. And there's no stat available for me right now about the people who own more than one. So that's a lot of dogs in America. That's a wonderful thing. Kind of brings me to my next topic, which is a little tiny chihuahua named Juanita. And I want to do a shout out to little Juanita and all the little extremely well-behaved dogs who visit beaches all over the world. So here's the thing. If you're going to take your dog to the beach, you must make sure it goes pee and poo somewhere else. You must take it for little breaks and make sure that is not happening on the beach. And if it does happen on the beach, you must have the equipment to clean it up. Nobody wants to be on a beach with that, obviously. Okay, number one. Number two, if your dog has bad habits, like begging, like stealing, like walking over beach blankets, like fussing at kids they don't know, like trying to instigate games and play with people that haven't been introduced to it, any of that, jumping up on people, any of that, your dog needs to be on the leash at the beach till it learns how to behave. Okay. Now, we have rules, right? Certain beaches are so crowded in busy season that no dogs are allowed on the beach. I think that's a travesty. If you've listened to my show for years, you know I believe that any beach with a big dog that's well-trained is a safer beach for all the women and children. And the men, too. Anyone who could be victimized is safer. But having said that, the rule is no dogs on the beach. And so today I was going to give the award, because there was a very bad dog on the beach, but I'm not going to give the award to the very bad dog on the beach. I am going to give the bad dog award to the Rangers this week. Because the Rangers, two of them, looked not old enough to shave, came over to this, well, I'd say wise and experienced man of years who was walking along the beach. And I know his story. I've overheard him tell his story. He's traveled the world. He's traveled many, many beaches. And his little chihuahua, Juanita, is his best friend. And she's teeny tiny. When she's in his tote bag, you can't even see her. She's about the size of a large flashlight, I guess, or maybe smaller than that. Just extremely small, a pair of tube socks, okay? Folded up. That's the size of this dog. Tiny, fits in his hand. Okay, so little Juanita and this guy have traveled the world. They've gone to beaches everywhere, travels on the plane with her, everywhere and anywhere, always, with no problems. Why? Well, firstly, because she's tiny. Second, because she's trained. Third, because he's polite and well-spoken. And fourth, she is a recognized, licensed, certified companion dog, a working dog. She has her papers. She has her little harness that states it. He's got everything in order. And yet, these rangers came over to him. The 1 minute his dog wasn't in its little tote bag or in his arms, they happened to see it. And it is so friendly. It loves everybody. It's trained perfectly. And you could tell as soon as you meet it, it's been trained for service. It doesn't approach people it doesn't know. All the rules. If food drops, it doesn't pick it up. Like everything a service dog does, you could see just glancing at it that it's a service dog. And then he has all the paperwork to prove it. And yet they've ticketed him $200 tickets several times this summer. And 2 days ago, I witnessed them make him either accept another ticket or leave the beach with the dog with a warning. That's a service dog. Would you kick a blind guy off the beach with his dog? You might say, well, a blind guy could never get to that beach. It's over 500 steps, just under 500 steps. Well, actually, there was a man with a seeing eye dog who used to go regularly all the time. Would you make him leave? No, you wouldn't. So this is an issue of accessibility and judgment. And it's a tricky one because that same day, later that day, I went to the Richmond Chinese Night Market, which last year I went there and I love some of the stands and the food and the skewers and the, oh, it's just exciting. Anyway, last year I went there and they had a big sign at the front. I posted it. You guys saw it. Big sign at the front, no bully dogs. And then it had pictures, a big frontal face of a pit bull and a Rottweiler. And there was like five faces, mugshots, basically in circles. It said, these dogs are not allowed on this site. Okay, well, the place had a lot of dogs. I was walking through it and I was thinking, why would you bring your dog to the Chinese night market? There's food everywhere. There's food being dropped. There's stuff on the ground. There's people to step on them. Why? Your dog doesn't want to be here. But there were people with dogs, mostly little dogs, some big dogs. No bulldogs, no pit bulls, nobody who looked fierce or scary. Okay, no chows. And the chows were in the picture. So I thought that was an interesting inclusion. But okay, so that was last year. This year, I get up to the ticket booth and it says, no dogs. Sorry for the inconvenience. Now, here's the thing. Okay, I like it when dogs are around. But I think some places like fireworks, parades, overly crowded places where you can't protect their feet, where there might be glass on the ground and there might be cigarette butts or there might be something to hurt them, hot pavement, people stepping on them. That's when I think you leave your dog at home. So I do think choosing that at the Chinese night market is a great idea, that dogs not be allowed there. Okay. Only service dogs. Again, great exemption. And while I was there, I saw this family, a husband and wife walking with a service dog. And normally I would try not to judge them, right? Just like Juanita at the beach, he doesn't seem blind. So is this really a service dog? Are the papers fake? I'm sure that's what the rangers were wondering when they gave him the warning, but if they're educated at all. But in this case, I look at the guy and he looks super fit, buff, strong, He-Man kind of guy, right? He could carry me out of a building. Okay. And he's walking with a wife that doesn't look like she has any trouble either. So I'm trying to figure out, what is this dog servicing? What is the service he's providing? And then I think to myself, okay, well, maybe he's ex-military. Maybe he's got PTSD and having this dog makes him able to enter crowds. Okay, I'll give the guy a pass. But I'm watching for a while and the dog is wearing the harness that says service. It's a Springer Spaniel type dog. And it's no service dog. No. It's a walking vacuum cleaner. It's licking the pavement to get all the scraps of food that have fallen. It is harassing people as they walk. It's on a flexi leash. You don't really see that with service dogs, do you? And it's going, extending it back and forth and doing whatever the heck it wants. String, almost tangling people's legs. God, I hate those things. Anyway, so clearly, this is an imposter. This is not a service dog. Maybe the guy legitimately needs one, but this dog isn't trained. And it doesn't have a puppy in training service dog, please do not pet me, blanket on it. It is pretending to be a service dog. And that's why dogs like Juanita, who really are service dogs, get such a hard time. So the bad dog at the beach award today goes to the bad dog. It's not the dog's fault. The bad owner who's pretending his dog is a service dog at the Richmond Night Market, ruining it for the people who actually need that. All right. Enough said on that one. Okay, so I'm going to go. Did I give you the recipe? I don't think I did yet. So I'm going to have to do that. So it's a quickie recipe, half a cup unsweetened applesauce, which you can make yourself. You just skin and core a bunch of apples, cut them up into small pieces, add a bit of water, and I would add a little cinnamon and put it on to boil and just watch it and stir it and mash it as you go and you'll have applesauce. Okay, so it's the right time of year for that right now. Half a cup unsweetened applesauce, quarter cup peanut butter, natural kind, 1.5 cups whole wheat flour, or oat flour, 1 tablespoon honey, but that's optional and I wouldn't even do that. And they say 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, but if you put the cinnamon in the applesauce, you don't have to do that. Okay, and then you just mix it up, roll it out this one, and use your cookie cutters. And I would suggest bone shapes would be good for this one. You wanna make sure when you make these type of things, if they're not the kind that's supposed to be humans too, because this wouldn't, I don't think, taste good to most humans, but you want to make sure it's a shape that you won't be tricking the kids and the husband, because that would not be a good trick. So bones are probably good. Bones are good. And then when you do make cookies that pets can't have, like they have chocolate in them or something, don't use the bone shape, right? Don't make it confusing. Okay, so something light to end the show on. I was watching one of those TLC shows about polygamy, and the family was... husband and wife were looking for another wife. And so they're breaking it to the husband's mother. They're telling mother-in-law, the mother of the couple, we're looking for a new wife. And after they explain the whole thing to her, and she's sort of shaking her head, trying to take it in, you know, you're happy with each other, but you're taking another woman. And she's asking the daughter-in-law, are you okay with it? Are you sure? And after thinking about it for a while, she says, can't you all just get a dog? And I thought that was such a great line. Yes, can't you get a dog? Well, I guess not. It's not exactly the role of the sister wife, but I do understand the sentiment. And I thought it was really funny to hear just out of the blue. I burst out laughing when I heard that. All right, everybody. I guess we're getting to the end of the show. One more thing. I had a dog come to camp and they sent... You know, people send their dogs all the time, and it was a busy time, and they send a Tupperware full of dog food, and they send their measuring cup sometimes. I have measuring cups, so they don't need to do that, but sometimes they do. And usually the cup they send is perfectly okay. It's a metal scoop or some kind of plastic cup. But once in a while, somebody sends glass. And that is not a good idea, even if you're super careful. It's the same when you work in a bar. You never take a glass and dip it into the tub of ice to then offer it to someone. Because if that glass chips, the ice is going to get contaminated with broken glass. And then you may serve someone a drink with broken glass shards, right? And that's the same with the dog food. You might not even notice the chip. And now it's in the food, and now your dog's eating glass. The same for your cats. Same for anybody, anything. Don't use glass, please. Okay, well, that's my safety tip of the day on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. From me and Animal Party, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.